The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, it's a Monday. It's a messed up Monday in so many ways. So I thought today we should begin the show with a song. And no, it's not going to be Joni Mitchell from the Newport Folk Festival, but maybe I'll be tempted to play it later. In the meantime, here's the musical stylings of Man, Woman, Camera. Here we go.
It's been the worst bum year. I think that much is clear. There's been an epidemic of hate and fear. More coup, this shrew. Variants that now break through. Wordle grids up the wazoo. It's true. It's true. And Trump might run again if he's not true. In the pen. This guy has got him figured at 6-10.
But brothers,
woe is me.
And that's because
Roe v. was reversed by the Supreme Court decree.
It spreads a blight. The last throwback bite.
I hear the gas when it plans overnight.
And by
who might decline that by design.
Can shock these mothers a friend of mine.
Here are
wounds except me.
I'll make noise.
Drive a Kentucky neighbor to Illinois.
Raising
fear, heating the atmosphere.
Don't
let demon has been poking just for being queer.
It's true again.
It's true again.
I have got him bigger than 6-10.
While Rome burns, it was just
a crusade.
To fight Scotus's version of the hand grenade.
Roe v. Wade.
Trump again.
It's been the worst bum
year. Yeah. That is Man, Woman, Camera. It's a husband and wife team. They do this on YouTube, and not enough people know about them. And if you just heard that on one of the audio streams, you need to see the video, too, because it's the male part of the team. And he did it like a song in rounds. Remember when you were a kid and you'd do row, row, row your boat, and everybody, you'd do it in rounds? Well, that's sort of what that was. But it's about the worst bum year, and I got to say, I kind of agree. Although we've had the worst bum year for the past 5, 6, 7, 8. It's been a shitty run, let's face it. And today, well, I'm here. I'm here and I'm not on any pain medication, but I am in pain. So I'm not sure exactly when it happened. I think Friday, I know. Maybe it was during the show. And what happened was I've got a nice sturdy chair here and it has arms. And at some point on Friday, I leaned over the chair to grab something and I reached and all of a sudden I felt excruciating pain. And in my side where it hit the arm of my chair, and it's a padded arm, it's a padded thing. So I didn't hear any crack or anything, but it hurt. Immediately it hurt. And as the weekend went on, it hurt more and more. Well, I just coincidentally had a doctor's appointment with my primary care doctor this morning. And I told her what happened. And I explained that that spot, what David said, that's right where your incisions were. Because 6 years ago, next month, I had a lobectomy. They took out the lower left lobe of my lung and cut out a nice chunk of the upper left lobe as well because I had lung cancer. No longer have lung cancer. I'm free and clear. And I'm coming up on the 6-year anniversary. But I haven't really had, you know, I had the robotic surgery. So the incisions are tiny and you really can't even see the scars unless you look very closely for them. But I had like 5 incisions and I thought, okay, well, maybe I aggravated the scar tissue in there, but man, it hurts. So I went to the doctor this morning, I explained, she goes, well, I want to send you for an x-ray and make sure you didn't break any ribs. And long story short, two fractured ribs, and a small pleural effusion, which is liquid in between the lung and the surface. I don't know. It's just liquid there. And yeah, so I've got two ribs, 9 and 10, are fractured. And then she said, well, you know, there's really nothing we can do about it other than try to manage the pain. And she offered me a prescription for something that I know I've given my dogs called Tramadol. Ow, fuck. But it does hurt if I take a deep breath or if I move the wrong way or you basically just exist. It hurts. Oh, and by the way, I helped Allison move on Saturday. My kid moved from her old apartment into a new one. And I just, you know, soldiered through because that's what I do. Now, when the pain hit, I would say, I can't do that. It hurts. And then when I texted her today, well, I've got two fractured ribs. She's like, oh, my God. Yeah. So, yeah. Two fractured ribs, and they can't do a damn thing about it. They say, you know, try to rest it, you know, not exert too much energy, and it'll heal, but it takes a long time to heal. Great! Just what I needed right about now. So, bear with me. Vitamin D, I take vitamin D. I get it, well, I don't get it from the sun, but I take extra vitamin D because I was low on vitamin D. And if I go out in the sun, you know, I get sunburned and I've already had melanoma. Thank you very much. So, you know, I'm a two-time cancer survivor. I had lung cancer and melanoma. So sun is not great for me, although I love it. But so that's my story. I know I can't laugh. Because when I laugh, it hurts. Oh, when I sneeze, it hurts more. When I cough, it hurts. It all hurts. So we'll try not to get too funny today. Though I do have a bunch of video, not necessarily funny, like certainly not ha-ha funny, but there's some that is. So, you know, we'll do it. I also, earlier today, I recorded an interview, but I think I'm going to save it for tomorrow. Because I'm trying to take things as easy as possible. And Laffy can't be here tomorrow because where she's staying in Canada, she has horrible internet service. And until they can move into their own place and get what they need, she has very, very spotty cell service and almost non-existent internet service. So she won't be here tomorrow. So what I'll probably do is play that interview for you. And it's I'm warning you now, it's important, but it's messed up because it's about guns. And the book is called Aurora. It's about the movie theater shooting. Do you realize that was 10 years ago already? And it's written by a doctor, a psychiatrist, who actually treated the Aurora shooter briefly, but treated him before the shooting. And I think she had said she had 6 sessions with him. He came in voluntarily. He came in because of anxiety, but he gave no clue that he was capable of this, although she said she did get a very weird feeling from him. And at one point, he said he thought about killing people, and that stuck with her. But still, that's nothing she could have done anything with. Well, her name, she was outed when the files were opened after the killer was convicted. And her whole life, she was attacked. This was her fault. I mean, it was really astounding. People suck. You know that? People suck. So I have that interview and I have a bunch of gun-related things. And you know, here in Florida, in case you don't know, it's all over the news down here that the shooter in Parkland is now on trial. Not on trial for the murder of 17 people and attempted murder of 17 others. He pleaded guilty to those charges. This is a trial to determine his fate, basically whether he lives or dies, whether he gets life in prison or the death penalty. And in order to do this, because there was no main part of the trial, the penalty phase is a full-blown trial. And these poor people who lost children or loved ones in this massacre are being subjected to the entire thing all over again. The whole point of him pleading guilty was that they wouldn't have to live through a graphic trial, a graphic reproduction of their children getting killed. But they do, and they are. And they estimate that this trial will go on for at least 4 months. This is just a penalty phase. So it is top of mind down here. Because, you can't, look, I'm not watching it. The trial is being shown on TV. I'm trying to stay away from it as much as possible because it happened right here. It's triggering. My kid was in a classroom with the murderer. She didn't know it at the time, obviously, because he hadn't done it yet. But she was in this special class to do the remainder of her credits so she could graduate. And when they showed his picture on the TV screen, she goes, oh, Mom, oh my God, he was in my OCLC room, off-campus learning center. So, yeah, I have a visceral reaction to this. And every time there's a shooting, it, you know, as it should all Americans, it kills me. So, anyway, tomorrow we're going to deal with guns. Today, if you're a regular listener, you know that I've been attempting to get to know the six candidates who are running to fill my congressman's seat, because he's not running for re-election. Ted Deutch is not retiring, but he's retiring from Congress. Can't say that I blame him. So there are six Democrats vying for the Democratic nomination to run for this seat in November. There are some Republicans, too, but I'm not even going to worry about them. This is a blue seat. This is a blue district in an increasingly red state. So whoever wins this nomination will win the seat, unless, of course, they pull a Trump and, you know, mess with it. But so I put out the call. I sent out texts and emails wherever possible to all six of the Democrats running. Immediately, I heard from five. The one who hasn't gotten back to me is the perceived front runner. I guess Jared Moskowitz thinks that he's a shoo-in and he doesn't need to do an interview with some lowly podcaster or internet radio host. Seriously, I've not gotten even the courtesy of a return email, tweet, direct message, a message on LinkedIn to both him and his alleged campaign manager. I guess Jared Moskowitz figures he doesn't need my vote. Well, good, because he's not getting it, because this really sucks. Fine. Email me back and say, sorry, we're just too busy, I don't have time, or something, but you ignore me? And maybe, yes, I am this lowly internet radio host and podcaster, but it wasn't always that way. So, just saying. So, you know what? Let's do this. Let's meet our fifth and probably final candidate who I get to choose from to cast my vote. And then we'll come back and do other stuff, okay? So I spoke with Ben Sorensen. He's the vice mayor of Fort Lauderdale, who is also running for this seat. And what happened, we actually, the first time we were supposed to talk, he sort of disappeared on me and left me hanging, and which pissed me off. So then we set another time to record, and I completely spaced out on it. And I went to help my daughter, Allison, do something, and I wasn't here because he texted me. He's like, are we recording now? I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. This time it's on me. I really screwed up. I profusely apologize. So anyway, on Friday, we taped it. And now let me bring you that conversation with the fifth and maybe not final, but probably final of the six candidates running for the Democratic nomination. Our primary here in Florida is August 23rd, but the mail-in ballots have already gone out. So it's voting time. And here is Ben Sorensen. Okay, go, Nicole. Take it away. I think. All right. Well, Joining me on the line right now is Ben Sorensen. He is the vice mayor of the city of Fort Lauderdale and a candidate in the Democratic primary running for the congressional seat in Florida's 23rd district, a newly drawn district, replacing Ted Deutch, who's decided not to run for re-election. So, Ben, I'm glad we were able to connect. I know we had a couple of missed chances. You missed one. I missed the second. So third time's a charm.
Yeah. Thanks, Nicole, for having me.
No worries. So why are you running for the seat? Why do you think you should be the next congressperson representing this area of Florida?
Sure. Thanks, Nicole. Well, I've been the vice mayor of the city of Fort Lauderdale and a city commissioner for 5 years. I'm in the Navy. I've been in the Navy Reserve for 14 years, going on 15. I'm an intelligence officer, lieutenant commander in the Navy, former teacher, small business owner, and I'm someone who gets a lot done. And so I've been doing that in the city of Fort Lauderdale. Grew up in a family that's just passionate and called to service and fighting the good fight, and doing my federal work at the national security level and what I do locally with the federal government. Really looking forward to being in Congress and serving the people. I think no one brings the experience and ability that I do.
And you consider yourself a progressive. I mean, I got to say, pretty much you're the fifth of the six Democratic candidates vying for the nomination that I've spoken with. I think all of you would consider yourselves progressive. Yes. How do you compare to the others? Do you know?
One of the interesting, I think there's a lot of similarities between us from a policy standpoint. From an experiential standpoint, I think there's big differences. So again, I'm someone who doesn't support Ron DeSantis, has never worked for Ron DeSantis, doesn't think Ron DeSantis is brilliant. One of our opponents thinks he is. I think his policies are horrible and are marginalizing communities. So I think that's a big difference. And then also what I've done kind of in the city of Fort Lauderdale, from increasing our HRC score, ensuring equal benefits for same-sex couples. And then one other difference that kind of came up is legalizing marijuana. I think we need to decriminalize and legalize marijuana. That's not the case for everyone in the race.
Really? Okay. When you said one of the other candidates, I think I know who you're talking about, and it happens to be the perceived front runner. He certainly is in terms of cash raised. He's also the only of the six of you who has not responded to my invitation. And I've tried. So we're talking about Jared Moskowitz, who, are you sure he said that what did you say he said about DeSantis?
He is against the legalization of marijuana.
We're talking about the DeSantis thing. We'll go into marijuana in a moment because that's an important thing.
It's on his podcast, actually, Nicole. He says, Ron DeSantis is brilliant. He is brilliant. He's off the charts brilliant. His IQ is off the charts.
Aye. Okay. Well,
direct quote.
Right.
I don't think Ron DeSantis is brilliant, and I think his policies are horrendous.
His policies are abhorrent. And now look, what I say about him as with the prospect that he's going to run for president. Now he's running for governor now for re-election, but just know, in a year, he's going to basically abandon his post as governor to run for president, which we know. But I say he's more dangerous than Donald Trump because he is smarter. I mean, he went to Harvard and Yale, which impresses Trump. But I think the problem with him is he is smarter. He's more vindictive. He's meaner. He's cruel. And he understands exactly what he's doing, where the other, the orange one, doesn't. He just wants to plow through anything. But so the problem with Jared Moskowitz is that he accepted an appointment from Ron DeSantis.
Two political jobs. So as a result, he owes Ron DeSantis, political favors, and he does not stand up against Ron DeSantis. And that's the last thing we need in this congressional seat. Someone who's going to be quietly supporting Ron DeSantis. We need someone to stand up for our democratic values, and we need someone to help stand up for Floridians as a whole and turn Florida blue, which I think we can do.
Right. See, I'm troubled by the DeSantis connection too. And look, while I do think it's important that whoever wins this seat, whoever is the governor of the state, represents all the people. So, unlike the former president, who never lifted a finger to help Democrats, he considered us the enemy. I don't think you consider Republicans in the district your enemy.
Absolutely not. With so many folks, we can work together. We can, but when you're dealing with someone like Ron DeSantis, who marginalizes LGBTQ community, removes majority minority congressional districts in our state, Nicole, you know, attacks school children that are wearing masks. And this was, you know, Jared was the COVID lead policy expert and roller out of COVID policies during DeSantis. These are the misguided policies that we absolutely do not need as Floridians.
Right. And I think that's why he's not getting back to me, because he knows I'll ask him about those very issues, which are troubling to me.
Exactly.
So we are in Florida's 23rd district, again, thanks to the census and to Ron DeSantis. This map is less fair than we all voted for about 10 years ago when we voted a new constitutional amendment called Fair Districts Florida. And he challenged the more fairly drawn maps and got his way. And so we have a map that basically did away with two majority black districts, didn't he?
That's exactly right. Look, we need to take congressional drawing out of the hands of politicians. This needs to be in a nonpartisan committee, because we see what happens. The rights of minorities get attacked when you have someone like Ron DeSantis in the governor's seat. And that's what's happened. And that's another reason why we as Democrats need to fight against these misguided policies.
Absolutely. So Ben Sorensen is our guest. By the way, it's spelled Sorensen with an E, S-O-R-E-N-S-E-N. But it's good to know, because the website is bensorensen.com, and your Twitter handle is at Ben Sorensen, so that way people can find you. And again, you guys, and it's not just you, all the candidates so far in this district have proven my theory, and that is, if you go on any congressional candidate's website, you can tell who are the progressives and who are the as the media likes to call them, the moderates or centrists. I call them conservadems, because they never put their position on the issues on the website. And progressives don't shy away from the positions. We're proud of where we stand and what we stand for. So under gun control reform, I'm pleased to see that you want to reinstate the federal assault weapons ban. That's important, and others seem to hedge on the issue. They're saying, well, we support the red flag laws and the changes that, you know, Ted Deutch helped put through after the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shootings. You want to take it further?
Yeah, absolutely, Nicole. And look, as I mentioned, I've been in the military for 14 years. I'm trained on weapons. I'm very familiar with a whole host of weapons. And I know that assault rifles are military grade weapons that do not belong in our communities or on our streets. And so I'm passionate about renewing the assault weapons ban, eliminating mass capacity magazines, national red flag law, and national background checks, Nicole.
Thank you. We need to do something, because this is not, there were people found dead in a state park this morning, apparently another four people dead, guns. So yeah, there's that.
Nicole, we have two little girls, a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old. We take them to an amazing public school here in Fort Lauderdale. Literally, Nicole, every day I drop them off, they leave the car and I'm going to get a little choked up, but I worry about something happening. Every single day, parents live in fear, and that is not how we're going to operate as a society, and we're going to do something about it, and that's why I'm running for Congress.
Cool. No, I understand that full well. Again, I live in Coral Springs. So my daughter had just graduated from Coral Glades High School. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas is right up the road, and in fact, I've told this story a few times, but it's chilling, and it tells you just how close we come. My daughter was not a good student. She did not like school. She's more creative, free spirit kind of kid, which is fine. And at the end of the year, she was coming up for graduation, and she was 2 credits shy, and she was behind. It looked like she wasn't going to graduate. So Broward County Schools has this program, this off-campus learning center, which a lot of, you know, troubled kids take advantage of. And it's basically a classroom in one of the high schools in the area. This was at Taravella. And where they work at their own speed on the computer, but there's a teacher in the room and they get through what they need to get through to graduate. Well, after the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, and we're all kind of freaked out because this is our neighborhood, the picture of the killer came up on TV, and I don't say his name. And Allison, my daughter, saw him and said, oh, my God, I know him. He was in my OCLC room. He was like 2 two people away from her in this room. And she said he was really weird and I always tried to be nice to him. And I know the feeling that you get when you drop your girls off at school, because that's how I felt. It's too close for comfort and we need to do something about it.
Absolutely, Nicole. And I was a Fort Lauderdale police chaplain at the time of MSD shooting. And so I responded there as a police chaplain, spending time with the children, the parents, and it just left an indelible mark on me. When I got elected as a city commissioner of the city of Fort Lauderdale, we actually had gun shows in city parks, believe it or not, in the city of Fort Lauderdale. And so I immediately said, we are removing gun shows. They are not going to be anywhere near our kids. We removed them. We got sued. We won. And now we're suing the governor. And along with about 40 other cities have joined with us as the city of Fort Lauderdale to challenge the governor on his gun laws and to allow cities to have reasonable gun laws so that we can keep guns out of city buildings.
Good. Well, thank you for that. And you have DeSantis saying, I'm going to pass constitutional carry. First of all, it's not constitutional. And allowing anyone to carry a concealed weapon without any kind of licensing or registration. No, thank you.
It's asinine.
Asinine. Yes, it is.
There is a direct correlation between the number of guns in a nation and gun violence. We need fewer, not more.
Absolutely. Ben Sorensen, so you brought up legalization of marijuana. So you're saying Jared Moskowitz is not for it?
Yep. In the past, he's indicated he's not for it.
Okay. And you think you want full recreational use legalization?
Absolutely. Let's legalize it. Let's tax it. Let's use that tax revenue. Affordable housing, workforce housing, mental health, addiction recovery. There's a host of opportunities we could really leverage that tax dollars and have a regulated, legalized industry.
Without a doubt. And the medical system that we have in place now is a sham. It is a money gouging prospect for, I don't know who gets the money, but it's a ridiculous amount of money you have to pay to get with a doctor and then to renew your card and your license. It's all meant to gouge the patient and it's not fair.
Yep. Yep. I think there's a lot of opportunity to improve. And while you're talking about healthcare, another piece that I'm going to be fighting for is we need a public option.
Thank you.
We need a national public option so that everyone can have healthcare. If you have your private healthcare, keep it. But if you don't and need help, get a public option. That way everyone's covered. And what the research has shown, Nicole, you're probably very familiar with this, is if we have people covered, the overall national healthcare expense drops because people are going to be more proactive taking care of themselves.
Of course. And during COVID, boy, how we could have used that.
Absolutely.
If we were all covered, you know, and the problems we have, you're a military guy. You know, I look at the VA and I understand that when people can get the services, the care is excellent. But there's a problem with getting the services because of a shortage of doctors and all the bureaucratic red tape. Well, if we had Medicare for all, guess what? The VA medical system would be unnecessary. It would be a moot point, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would still have a place, but it sure, I mean, imagine the benefit and the kind of the partnership that those two entities could have.
That's
It'd be
right.
Phenomenal.
It would be. Climate change. We're here in South Florida. Thankfully, we're up in Broward, or, you know, in this district, it includes some parts of Palm Beach County as well. But Miami is basically underwater. And I keep reading that they're building these new high rises on the beach. Why?
Yeah, we're ground zero for climate change. I mean, so what we've done, when I got elected, we transformed our city ordinance to basically build in climate change infrastructure in all city codes. So now when you're building anywhere near a seawall, that seawall needs to be raised. You have to install tidal valves to keep backflow from coming in. You also have increased renewable energy requirements that we're rolling out. In the city of Fort Lauderdale, we're going to be a completely net zero emission city in 2040. So as a national government, we've got to do a lot more. We've got to invest more in renewables. We have to incentivize individuals to leverage and use renewables. And it's one of the real issues I see in Florida, in our city, in the country, especially here in Florida, South Florida. We're the Sunshine State. We should have more options and encouragement of the option for people to use renewables. Right now,
solar.
So
you can't get solar power here in South Florida. It's insane.
It's not fair, and it's a stranglehold world, and it's hurting us from a climate change standpoint. And also, what I'm going to fight for when I get elected is FEMA and HUD funding. They have FEMA and HUD disaster recovery funding, billions of dollars when you at post-disaster. What I'm going to be making the argument for is we need those dollars pre-disaster. Let's help harden our infrastructure, prepare for climate change before the storm so that we're more resilient, because a lot of the communities that are hit hardest are lower socioeconomic communities that need the most help.
It always tends to work out that way. Go figure. Ben Sorensen, it's great to get to know you. I'm glad we had a few minutes to talk. Beautiful. I encourage people, you know, I get to do this because I have this microphone. And so I'm getting to talk to at least five of our six candidates. It seems like one is trying to avoid me. I don't know. But I encourage people, no matter what district they're in, I say it all the time, the primary is where you get to make your fantasy pick. You pick the person that you think would do the best job. Don't worry about what the polls say. Don't worry about how much money they've raised. You vote for your ideal candidate or the most ideal out of the choices you have. And then in the general, we deal with what we're given. Obviously, we need to get Ron DeSantis out of office. We need more Democrats representing us in Congress and also in the state legislature. I mean, we're really hurting there. So I am encouraging people to run for office as well. Last question for you, though. This is also a gubernatorial race year in Florida. Ron DeSantis, for whatever reason, he's a schmoozer. I don't know. People like him. I know a lot of people are starting to see through him. There was a wonderful editorial in the South Florida Sun Sentinel yesterday, basically warning the rest of the country, don't be blinded. Don't listen to this stuff. This man is dangerous. We have two candidates now vying for the Democratic nomination. I'm not sure either one can beat him. Do you have a favorite in the race?
So I think this is Ron DeSantis is a challenge for us. But look, as he continues to marginalize communities, LGBTQ, right, minorities,
women,
women. Thank you. I mean, the choice, the freedom for choice. I mean, I'm married. My wife is concerned about contraception now, as she should be. This is asinine.
Do you know? Oh my God! Only yesterday they took a vote in the House to get everyone on record. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. Finally, I'm happy she did something that I'm happy with. That. Eight Republicans voted with all the Democrats to say, yeah, you women have access to contraceptive care. Only eight. It's like 195 Republicans in the House of Representatives voted to take away our right of birth control.
It's absurd. It's offensive. It's absurd. We're going to challenge it. We're going to fight. And just a couple other things. Out of the race, our race for Congress on the Democratic side, I have more cash on hand, Nicole, for the primary election than anyone else in the race on the Democratic side.
Okay.
More cash on hand. So not only am I the right candidate from a policy standpoint, from a experiential standpoint, from a partnering with Congressman Ted Deutsch's office and getting things done federally, I'm also the most viable from a support from financially. And I'll just end it with this, with the gubernatorial race, is he is attacking our business community. He's attacking the free speech of businesses. This is not what we need, not only as Democrats, but as Floridians that want good jobs here, that want tourists coming to support our economy and so forth. He is not the right choice. We need someone to come in and replace him in the governor's house, the governor's mansion. And I'm confident, you know, Nikki Fried or Charlie Crist is going to be that person.
It's got to be one of them. And the other thing that I'll say, again, your youngest one is now older than five, right? But yes. You know, kids, families with children five or under in Florida can't find vaccines because that guy doesn't believe in them. And the quack that he brought on as Surgeon General doesn't believe in them either. And so the only state in the union that didn't order vaccinations for the children for 5 year old and under, Florida, as I call it. Let's take the duh out of Florida. Can we?
Absolutely. Let's take that out, and let's take DeSantis out of Florida as well, and we'll be a better state for it.
Terrific. Ben Sorensen, thank you so much. It was great to meet you. And primary day is August 23rd. I know mail-in ballots are going out in the mail this week. So I'm glad to have had the opportunity to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Nicole.
So Ben Sorensen, is, in case you missed it at the beginning, he is running for the Democratic nomination for the congressional seat here. I'm now in Florida's 23rd district, currently represented by Ted Deutch. He's not running for re-election. He's taken a job running some Jewish organization. I forget which one. But so Ben Sorensen is one of six Democrats vying for the nomination. There are Republicans running too, but no Republican will win in this seat. It's still, thankfully, this is a reliably blue district. It's one of the only reasons I live here still, and may not for much longer. But yeah, so that's what he's running for. And so we've had all five of them on. I mean, there are six, but the sixth one is ignoring me. So I probably wouldn't vote for Jared Moskowitz anyway, because of his ties to Ron's death sentence and other reasons. So there's that. You know, I may, if depending on how my pain, if you're just joining us, I found out I've got two fractured ribs. Depending on how the week goes, one day we may just pull out. At the beginning of the campaign, I interviewed both Charlie Crist and Nikki Fried, who are the two candidates running for governor, running for the Democratic nomination. And just so you can hear them, maybe we'll do that again. Just something to keep in the back in case I have to take a day off. But while we're talking about Florida, this weekend, there were actually a couple of get-togethers. Yeah. And one of them, Republican get-togethers, what I'm talking about. And go figure, both Moron death sentence and the big orange bloviator appeared at this, though at separate times, so they didn't cross paths. But it's Turning Point USA. This is an organization that caters to young people. It's about students. It's about, you know, they always talk about indoctrination, but you know, everything they say and do is projection. When they say stop the steal, they're talking to themselves because they're the ones who steal elections, not us. They've done it throughout history. Go back to 2000. They did it then. They stole the presidency. That's what they do. And that's why they accuse us of doing it, because they're doing it. It's opposite world. Got it? Okay. So they are indoctrinating our young people. SAS, it's something about students. So they're indoctrinating young people. And who was one of the featured speakers at this event? Matt Gaetz. And if someone could explain to me why he's still in Congress, I would like to know, because I understand there's, you know, there's like sex trafficking charges against him. There's all kinds of questions about him. And he is just a really horrible excuse for a human being. And if you doubt that, let me share with you a little something that he said on the stage at this TP Action, Turning Point Action conference this weekend. Okay, this is Matt Gaetz.
Have you watched these pro-abortion, pro-murder rallies? The people are just disgusting.
Have you looked in a mirror? He's talking about the physicality of the people who are are protesting at pro-choice rallies. He's just this. Be prepared. You're going to need a shower after this.
Like, why is it that the women with the least likelihood of getting pregnant are the ones most worried about having abortions?
Oh, my God.
Nobody wants to impregnate you if you look like a thumb.
And what do you look like, you moronic piece of crap?
These people are odious on the inside and out. They're like 5'2", 350 pounds.
You're describing yourself.
Give me my abortions or I'll get up and march and protest.
Oh, my God.
And I'm thinking, march? You look like you got ankles weaker than the legal reasoning behind Roe versus Wade. A few of them need to get up and march. They need to get up and march for like an hour a day. Swing those arms.
My
get the blood
God.
Pumping. Maybe mix in a salad.
Oh, God. Yeah. Look who's talking. Mr. Gaetz. I'm not astounded. I expect nothing less from him. Nothing less. And if you're wondering, today, apparently he was asked about that. I'm not going to put it on video because who needs to look at his ugly mug? But we can hear
it's just pure ugliness, and I see that ugliness on the inside.
That's you.
I see it on the outside. You know, even in the horrible circumstance where an abortion may happen, it is nothing to celebrate, and it is nothing to cheer.
Mm-hmm. Is it safe to say that based off of your comments, you're suggesting that these women at these abortion rallies are ugly?
You know what?
And
I am going to show his face.
What do you say to people who think that those comments are offensive?
Be offended.
Mm-hmm. This face has the nerve to call other people ugly? Look at him. He is the epitome of an ugly American. Take a look. That is the ugly American. It is just sickening. This is Florida. And wait, I had one other Florida thing to share with you before I move on, but oh my God. I don't know how it gets any worse than that. What else was I going to show you from Florida? I don't remember. And now I can't find it. It's probably just as well because it's not good. Yeah. And how the hell is he still in office? Why hasn't he been thrown out yet? How is he still appearing in any committees? He should not be there. You know who I want? I want a candidate like John Fetterman. Now, John Fetterman is in Pennsylvania. This guy is who we need. You know, his opponent is the TV doctor, Dr. Oz. And by the way, Oprah, why have you brought us so many of these psychopaths? Why? You know, they all come up through Oprah, from Dr. Phil to Dr. Oz. They're not real doctors. And Oprah, what up, bitch? Anyway, sorry. This is John Fetterman. So Dr. Oz, the TV doctor, is running against John Fetterman in the general election. They both won their respective primaries, running for governor of Pennsylvania. But Dr. Oz doesn't live in Pennsylvania. No, he lives in New Jersey. So John Fetterman, well, sort of wanted to honor him and his home state. Here we go.
We all know that Dr. Oz is so proud of being Jersey strong.
Well, I'm from New Jersey.
He's a huge New Jersey celebrity who's lived there for 3 decades. Clearly, he loves his home state. He's even registered to vote there. To honor Dr. Oz's deep New Jersey roots, we thought it'd be a great idea to start a petition and help him reach his dream of being inducted into the New Jersey Hall of Fame. Help us recognize his Jersey pride by signing our petition today.
Go do it. Sign his petition and let Dr. Oz be recognized for his Jersey pride. Oh, Fetterman is just awesome. And no, I know, Diane's like, I don't think Oprah did it on purpose. Of course not. But it just shows maybe she's not the best judge of character. Just saying, you know, seriously, the people that she's foisting on us, not really the best. Just saying. I've got all these videos, actually, that deal with guns, and I'm going to save them for tomorrow to, you know, we'll have a theme. So I don't want to send you any of that. I do have something that I've been sitting on for a couple of weeks just because we've been so busy and I haven't had the time, but I think we have the time now. We got to talk about what's going on in England, right? So Boris Johnson, how we recoiled when he was made prime minister. We knew he wouldn't last long, right? I mean, he shouldn't. He was the Donald Trump of England, and they finally had enough of him and they told him basically, get the fuck out. So I've got a few things to play. We'll start with a song honoring his removal. And then we'll move on to his farewell speech to Parliament, I guess it was, right? And then if we have time, Jonathan Pye. Now, we haven't heard from Jonathan Pye in a while. Also, we haven't had time. We've had so much here to look at and deal with. Jonathan Pye, of course, is a fictional British newsman who is always, you know, getting ready for a stand-up live shot. And when the camera's, you know, ostensibly off, he rants. And so, yeah, we've got that. But let's start with my favorite. You know them, the Marsh family. The Marsh family is that lovely family from Kent who sings. We've watched these children grow up before our eyes because they were doing it throughout, you know, the pandemic. And so for 2 years, and when you're little, you know, you grow quickly. Well, in this video, it's really just the dad singing using one of the characters who emerged from a former video, but it's all about Boris Johnson. And I guess having a monkey sing is applicable. It works. It's appropriate for the occasion. So we'll do the Marsh family, and then we'll hear from Boris Johnson himself, the person they're singing about in this song. Take it away, Marsh family.
Checking out the papers. What's going on? Isn't he rich? Why is he still there? It's weird he's hanging around in disrepair. Send out the clown. It's taking the piss. No one approves. He likes it when others go down, but now he won't move. Make him back down. Send out the clown. Government stopped. Leadership walls. Scraping the barrel for cabinet ministers. Down on all fours. How can we trust him again with our national affairs? Resign means resign, but he's still there.
Yes, we could have sung this for El Gordo.
Thrown out on his ass by mutineers. So borrow a flamethrower back from Ukraine to persuade him, my dear.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
He let us all down. Send out the clown. Oh, hubris. You're here.
Great line. Oh, hubris, you're here.
Call out his lies. Gone are his spells. Kinda ironic the ones in the sewer have found out it smells. Now they're all clean.
Yeah.
Career using the power of hatred, corruption, and fear. Send out the clown, then release the hounds so he can't reappear.
All right, I guess we need to send out the hounds for our orange-haired. Well, Boris Johnson's not necessarily orange-haired.
Turn the page.
The Marsh family. That's Dad Ben Marsh doing the heavy lifting there. Good stuff, huh? They're so, so good. Okay, I couldn't segue right from that to Boris Johnson because, unfortunately, it was in the same, on the same, I didn't have this video on the other computer like I thought I did. All right, this is just a couple of minutes of, you know, I just realized his initials are BJ. I guess appropriate. BJ's farewell to Parliament. Let's hear how lucid and brilliant this address is.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank my right honourable friend, and I want to use the last few seconds, Mr. Speaker, to give some words of advice to my successor, whoever he or she may be. Number one, stay close to the Americans. Stick up for the Ukrainians. Stick up for freedom and democracy everywhere. Cut taxes and deregulate wherever you can to make this the greatest place to live and invest, which it is.
Uh-huh.
I love the Treasury, but remember that if we'd always listened to the Treasury, we wouldn't have built the M25 or the Channel Tunnel. Focus on the road ahead. Focus on the road ahead, but always remember to check the rear view mirror. And remember above all, it's not Twitter that counts. It's the people that sent us here. And yes, the last few years have been the greatest privilege of my life. And it's true that I helped to get the biggest Tory majority for 40 years.
Oh, please.
A huge realignment in UK politics,
yeah.
Mr. Speaker. We've transformed our democracy and restored our national independence, as my right honourable friend says. I've helped to get this country through a pandemic and help save another country from barbarism. And frankly, that's enough to be going on with.
Yes, it is.
Mission largely accomplished. For now, I want to thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank all the wonderful staff of the House of Commons. I want to thank all my friends and colleagues. I want to thank my right honourable friend opposite, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank everybody here, and hasta la vista, baby. Thank you.
Seriously? He's ousted from Parliament, and he ends with hasta la vista, baby. It's hasta, but okay. So, and then he gets a standing ovation. Go figure. So, aren't you curious to know what a real Englishman thinks? So, let's check in with Jonathan Pye, shall we? Jonathan Pye, again, fake British newscaster reporter, on the street, who does these stand-up things. And, well, he's got a few words to say about Boris Johnson.
So he's gone. He's fucked off then. He's resigned. Okay, so he's resigned, but he hasn't fucked off. Okay. I mean, what do we have to do? Wait for another few months whilst he takes the wallpaper down? I'm loving this. What an exit. The Prime Minister forgot that his whip was a sexual predator. No answer to that one.
Nope.
No answer, no humility, no meaningful apology. For days, just more Dickensian twaddle and a little reshuffle. Not so much reshuffling deck chairs on the Titanic, more reshuffling cat shit on a litter tray. And the manner of his departure should tell you everything you need to know. No dignity, just desperation and delusion and a despotic disposal to cling to power, no matter the harm to our country.
Whoops.
A Tory party facing the inevitable truth that they have been complicit in enabling one of the most dangerously incompetent and untrustworthy, selfish individuals ever to have occupied number 10 for as long as they have. And what's beautiful is it was the lying that got him in the end. He leaves in disgrace, as well he should, having exposed himself once and for all for what we always knew him to be. Not a statesman, but a sad little liar. A Shakespearean tragedy written by monkeys on typewriters. A prime minister who is as adept at lying at the dispatch box as he is to his string of mistresses. Every marriage Boris has had has ended when he fucked someone else and got them pregnant. That's who he is. Lies on top of lies on top of lies. He lies and gets people to lie on his behalf and then lies about the lying. And when he runs out of lies, he can always rely on the incompetence card. I forgot. I can't remember. I don't understand what the word party means. My willy just ended up inside my secretary. Oh, I forgot that he's a renowned sex pest. Oh, yeah. Essentially, a man who would rather pretend to be stupid than admit his mistakes, which of course makes him a coward.
Yeah.
A desperate, sad, talentless flag shagger who is so blatant in his dishonesty that when accused of lying to Parliament, he simply tries to change the rules to make it okay to lie to Parliament.
We have that guy.
When his own ethics advisors resign in disgust at his complete lack of ethics, scraps the role of ethics advisor altogether, which proves his complete lack of ethics. But the devastating cries over the last few days from the Tory party of enough is enough and one step too far are coming from the same people who have sat and watched him take a flamethrower to their party and our constitution for three fucking years. Fuck up after fuck up, lie after lie.
Hello.
And they were thinking what? Oh, he'll get better in a minute. All of them talking about trust and integrity. If you cared so much about trust and integrity, then why the fuck did you put Boris Johnson in number 10 in the first place?
Yeah.
All of the reasons they're getting rid of him now, lack of leadership, lack of morals, lack of integrity, lack of truth, all these traits have been in plain sight for years. His CV reads like a demon's resume. These noble cabinet ministers all falling on their swords, these are the fuckers that enabled Boris to be there in the first place.
That's
and
right.
Just look at what he's achieved. Trust in politics at a lower ebb than that time President Trump told Americans to drink bleach. A government with a complete absence of ethics, morals, direction or ideas, a ministerial code in the bin, an oven-ready Brexit deal that even Boris admits is unworkable, a COVID response that has been found to be criminally negligent, a United Kingdom inches away from complete devolution, an economy in tatters, a recession on the way, a health service barely fit for purpose, a country on the verge of a national strike, a man who took an 80-seat majority and just spaffed it up the wall in the name of hubris and ambition, destroying his party's reputation and leaving the UK ungovernable. What a legacy. Chaos. He leaves office the most hated man in his party and his country. And even though he's resigned, he's still fucking there. Just fuck off and we'll take our chances with the next useless posh sliver of bollock skin who gets to shag their mistress in the £50,000 floral wallpaper gin palace and factory of lies that number 10 has become under Boris Johnson.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, well, we're still waiting to get a clearer picture as to the timeline, as to the Prime Minister's
departure. See, now he goes back into his reporter. They cut to him live, and that's what happens. Jonathan Pye, if you've not watched Jonathan Pye's videos, he's all over YouTube. There's tons of them. He's brilliant. But can you listen to that without thinking of our own version of Boris Johnson? Everything he said, you could say about, you know, the orange thing. Yeah. Yeah. So, and that hurt. So I was laughing at that and it hurts. So, you know what? I saved this until the very end because there was something that happened today that was really good. It actually happened yesterday, but we didn't know about it until today. And that is that at the Newport Folk Festival, which I guess took place this weekend, Joni Mitchell performed. Now, this is the first time Joni Mitchell has performed live in probably 20 years. And she performed with Brandi Carlile, who she's kind of forged a very good friendship with. And I'm guessing Brandi Carlile sort of talked her into doing this. Now, they did quite a few Joni Mitchell songs, but I'm not going to play any of those because I really don't want to risk copyright violation, which I may hit on anyway. And you know what? It would just go with the rest of my luck lately. But this is I will post on the blog on my website where I post today's show. It'll be at NicoleSandler.com/7-25-22. That's today's date. That's the format I post the shows on the website. No paywall. You can go and look. I will post a link to the other videos of Joni Mitchell. She performed for like a while, a number of songs. Most of them were, you know, other people were singing as well. But this one, she sings by herself. So we're going to go out with this. It's Joni Mitchell singing Summertime at the Newport Folk Festival. Take it away, Joni. If I can get to the button. Here we go.
Summertime and the living is easy. Fish are jumping and the cotton is high. Your daddy's rich and your mama's so good looking. So hush, little baby, don't cry.
Don't cry. One of these more.
daddy and mammy standing by, standing by.
Joni Mitchell, yeah, at the Newport Folk Festival yesterday. There are a bunch more. I will post some of the videos on my blog where I post today's show. So go look because they're brilliant. Thank you, Joni Mitchell. Wow. How awesome is that? Okay, I'm going to leave you with the news. Hold on. I got to stop that now. I see. I know what's happening. Hold on. I got to mute this. And now I
have the new board.
Or I can't. I thought I muted all of the, damn it, mute. Why can't I do this? Everything is muted. Why are we here? Oh, maybe here. No, that's muted too. All right. I think I'm just going to have to play the news. I can't play it from there. Maybe I can play it from here. Hold on 1 second. I can. It's loading. All right. I'll leave you with the news.
Hold on.
Whoops. Now I can't do it on this one either. All right, it's done on there. I can play it here. All right, I'll leave you with the news. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Season one of the House Select Committee investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021 might be over, but the previews of season two coming in the fall, right before the midterm elections, is looking pretty epic. Members of the committee are talking to an attorney for Ginni Thomas, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, about speaking to the panel about her role in the plot to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Liz Cheney appearing on some Sunday shows this weekend.
The committee is engaged with her counsel. We certainly hope that she will agree to come in voluntarily, but the committee is fully prepared to contemplate a subpoena if she does not.
She added, quote, "We anticipate talking to additional members of the president's cabinet. Certainly, we're very focused on the Secret Service. Stay tuned." So Congress is jamming a lot in this week as the House goes on recess for the whole month of August, starting Friday. The Senate stays for one more week, then they too are out for a month. The Senate returns Monday, September 6th. The House, Tuesday, September 7th. So before they leave, the Senate needs to deal with the bill to codify same-sex marriage and interracial marriage that the House passed last week, with only 47 Republicans joining all the Democrats. That means 157 Republican members of Congress voted no. Chuck Schumer is expected to bring the bill to the floor as soon as they get to 60 votes. Schumer said he's working closely with Senators Tammy Baldwin and Kyrsten Sinema. They are the only two out LGBTQ senators. In addition to threatening same-sex marriage rights, Justice Clarence Thomas, in his concurring opinion in the case that overturned Roe, threatened our right to birth control. Seriously. So, Democrats introduced a bill to counter that threat and codify those rights into law. Stunningly, only 8 Republicans in the House voted to affirm our rights to birth control. The Senate will also hold a hearing on August 3rd on Senators Collins and Manchin's bill to update the Electoral Count Act. Sounds good on the surface, but two leading lawyers for the Democratic Party, Mark Elias and Norm Eisen, have raised some concerns about the text. Great. So last week, we saw Steve Bannon convicted on 2 counts of contempt of Congress. We await the sentencing. This week, conspiracy theorist Alex Jones goes before a jury in a defamation trial to determine how much he will have to pay the parents of a child killed in the 2012 Sandy Hook school shooting after Jones spent years spreading lies that the massacre never happened. The former guy is threatening to run again. On Saturday, he spoke at a Turning Point USA student action conference in Tampa, Florida, when he told the crowd that he won 2 presidential elections and may just have to do it again. Great. He said, quote, "If I renounced my beliefs, if I agreed to stay silent, if I stayed home, if I announced I was not going to run for office, the persecution of Donald Trump would immediately stop. But that's what they want me to do. And you know what? There's no chance I'd do that." But, you know,
That's his MO. Anyway, organizers of that conference denounced a group of neo-Nazis waving swastikas outside the gathering. But convention speaker, Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, who also spoke at this conference, hasn't even said a word about it. Some of those neo-Nazis waving the flag of Florida and another with a sign, DeSantis Country. So Donald Trump thinks he can get elected president again? Well, maybe not without the backing of Rupert Murdoch's properties. Now, Fox Not News seems to have been souring a bit on the former guy. Now, two major newspapers, the New York Post and the Wall Street Journal, both owned by Murdoch, published editorials this weekend saying he is, quote, unworthy to be chief executive again. The Wall Street Journal calling him, quote, the president who stood still on January 6th. Wow. By the way, the Republicans' big lie includes accusations of voter fraud coming from the left. But actually, all of the instances of people voting illegally that have been uncovered, I believe, have been Republicans. And now a guy named Barry Morphew of Colorado admitted that he cast an illegal mail-in ballot for his wife, Suzanne Morphew, after she mysteriously disappeared. He said, quote, because I wanted Trump to win. Prosecutors charged him with first-degree murder last year after her disappearance, but all charges were dropped in April after prosecutors were sanctioned by a judge for violating discovery rules. Just another Republican in today's United States. 67% of respondents in a new AP poll favor term limits for Supreme Court justices. A similar majority backed a mandatory retirement age. 82% of Democrats and 57% of Republicans backed term limits. 43% said they had hardly any confidence in the high court. That's a rise from the 27% who answered yes just 3 months ago. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.